Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally. On News Talk 1520. KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And I hope that you were tuned in when we were talking with Lori Watson. And again, you know, it's just one of those topics that I think it's important to talk about. It's important to know that you're not alone out there, and that if you are going through any problems in your marriage, it's something that you never know what I'm going to talk about on this show. And it's all about really making our lives the best. Our next guest is going to be a little fun, and we've got Frank DeCaro, and his book is another cookbook. You know, it's the holidays and Christmas in Tinseltown, and we've got the Dead Celebrity Cookbook, Celebrity Recipes and Hollywood Memories from 6 Feet Under, The Mistletoe. So, Frank, are you there?
I'm here. I've been listening. I'm having a lovely time of it. I almost don't want to talk now. I just want to listen. I'm having a nice time.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, thank you so much. So tell us a little bit about what a great idea. You know, I mean, you know, I often wonder, I mean, my grandmother was an amazing baker and amazing cook. And you want to, I've had several different guests on my show that have recipes that they've kind of remembered, and I think that this is such an important thing that we never lose track of things that have happened in our lives. And how did you go about doing this?
Well, the way I started doing the series of Dead Celebrity Cookbooks, I went to a dead celebrity party in college, which everyone dresses a dead celebrity, and the one thing we didn't have was dead celebrity recipes or dead celebrity food, and that kind of planted the seed for it. And that was many years ago. And in the intervening time, I collected anything that had a celebrity recipe in it, whether it was a microwave oven manual or an out-of-print celebrity cookbook or a flyer that was handed out in the supermarkets in the 70s, whatever it was. And then you really do have to do something with your collection, or the people from Hoarders come and take it all away from you.
Yeah.
So I had to do something with it. And that's one reason. And also, I do my own radio show on Sirius XM.
Oh.
And the interns never know who the heck I'm talking about, you know, and I feel like we don't pass along our
funny.
Pop culture. And so I wanted to sort of do that as well. And everybody who's in the Dead Celebrity Cookbook and now in Christmas in Tinseltown is a performer that I had a particular love for. And so it's the Christmas book is, you know, 60 some love letters to these performers and essays and about amazing Christmas entertainments that so many of us grew up with, whether it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or It's a Wonderful Life or the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Wow. So, I'm looking through. So let's just start off. Who is your favorite?
Of favorite performer or favorite recipe?
Favorite performer's recipe.
My favorite performers. In the Christmas book, I have a real soft spot for Robert Mitchum's eggnog.
Okay.
Because when they interviewed him, he was in a 40s movie called Holiday Affair. And he was the bad boy love interest, and he was great. But he has this eggnog recipe, and they interviewed him. They said, well, you know, which starts with a dozen eggs. And they asked him, why such a big batch? And he said, only a dope would go to that much trouble for less.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of like that. I like that he had swagger, you know.
Yeah, right.
So it's everything you want in eggnog, and it's spiced up the wazoo. It's got, you know, it's spiked up the wazoo. I made it with spiced rum, and it was really delicious for the holidays.
You know, so it's funny. This is almost my recipe, which came from Joy of Cooking, except for you use all three, rum, brandy, and whiskey.
That's good, too. That's three times as good.
Exactly. Yeah, let's just give that out for my listeners, since now their mouths are anybody that really does like eggnog. This looks really amazing. You know, let's give it out. So it's Robert Mitchum's eggnog, correct?
Yeah.
And so 12 eggs, egg yolks, that's a lot.
Well, it's the whole egg, but you separate it.
Right,
egg yolks,
right.
Egg
yeah.
Whites.
Yeah. So tell us that recipe. Let's just start off with that.
I don't have it in front. Do you have it in front of me?
I'll read the ingredients.
Okay,
and then,
go ahead.
Okay, 12 egg yolks, 1 pound of confectioner's sugar.
Always good, yes.
1 quart of rum, brandy, or whiskey, or I suggest all three. Two quarts cream, 1 quart milk, 12 egg whites, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt.
Works for me. I think it's delicious. When I made it, it's really terrific. And you know, you can do that. I have to say, but if you really want to cheat, you can actually, if you buy eggnog, a good quality eggnog, It may not be quite as good, but if you add enough of the three liquors,
I was just going to say you don't have to go through all that trouble.
Okay, so here's spiced rum, and no one will be the wiser.
Well, here's the fast of that. The important part of this recipe is you do the eggs, the confectioner sugar, all the stuff except the egg whites. And the egg whites, you whip like you would whipped cream, and you make it stiff. And then you fold it into the eggnog.
The eggnog that you buy.
Well, you could.
Correct.
So if I was going to buy eggnog, which I don't really do, but if I was going to buy it and then put the whiskey in it, at least do the egg white part.
It would soften it up and give it body
and not be so dense and drab. So
you mean thicken it up is what you're saying.
You're not thickening it up.
It makes it more fluffy to add the egg white.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. We just rearranged it. Sorry, Frank.
But we gave you the recipe. We didn't tell you what to do. It says beat egg yolks and confectioner's sugar together in a large bowl. Beat in the rum. Add cream and milk. In a separate bowl, beat egg whites and salt until stiff but not dry. And fold the mixture together.
Yeah.
And then chill it.
It serves 20.
Yeah.
Robert Mitchum did not mess around. And really, the best thing to do would be to put on this movie, Holiday Affair. Watch that while you're getting a little snockered.
Absolutely.
So get the feeling. I love it.
Well, I love this. So the recipe book, the book has recipes, and then it has a little bit of a story about each person.
Right.
Exactly. And it also tells you what you ought to watch of theirs to really appreciate what they did. And some of the essays, I mean, it's very personal and really a labor of love because – nobody loved, say, like in our house, we do not, it's not Christmas until you watch the Pee Wee's Playhouse Christmas special. And there's a recipe in there for Dinosaur's fruitcake, which is getting fruitcake is the running gag in his special. And so Dinah had a recipe for that, so that's included in there. And you can make things like beef stroganoff, and then that was Natalie Wood's recipe, and then sit and watch Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, you also have interesting tips like this. Jim Buckus's avocado salad. Then you have.
I was looking at that.
You have a tip that says be sure that avocado you use is perfectly ripe, or taste the consistency of dressing will suffer. To ripen a hard avocado, and I never knew this, seal it in a brown paper bag. To speed the process, put a banana or an apple or a tomato in the bag.
I did not know that.
Yeah. See, but. And it has to be in a dark area.
It makes
sense
because those would release gases that would then ripen the avocado. I get it.
Yeah, and it works, and it's good. Well, an avocado is, I mean, if a perfectly ripe avocado is a gift from the gods,
and an underripe
avocado is you might as well just have a doorstop. You know, it's just terrible.
That's true.
Frank, are you a cook?
I'm a home cook, yeah. I'm not a trained chef by any means.
Okay.
But I'm a pop culture expert of sorts, and that's kind of where, you know, I mean, I spent the whole first part of this year watching every Christmas property I could get my hands on to figure out what was going to go in the book, and it was kind of nice. I've had a very Christmassy year so far.
You had a whole year of this, right?
It's been fun. The real test comes on Christmas Eve when I have 16 people for dinner. So
that, what are you making?
We'll see how that goes. Well, I wanted to make, there's a recipe in there for Jack Albertson's crown roast of pork with fruit stuffing, which sounds heavenly, right?
That's right.
And everyone was like, you have to make your ham. And I was like,
Yeah.
I was like, but this year we could have crown roast to make your ham. And I was like, it's just a ham. Make both. Okay, fine. But I swear, there's a recipe in Christmas in Tinseltown that I'm going to definitely make the day after because you use your ham leftovers, and it's Nat King Cole's ham loaf.
And you
grind you could do it in the food processor. You grind up ham in equal parts with ground pork, raw pork, and you make like a meatloaf out of it, and you spice it up and some breadcrumbs and an egg and the whole thing, and then you put sort of a mustardy glaze over the top of it, and you can make sandwiches for days after that, or you can eat it hot certainly, but then make nice sandwiches on some good bread all through the next few days, and you need your strength because the 26th is the day to return everything and get all the stuff you didn't get, and
that's right.
You know. And then the next day is my birthday, so, you know,
no,
you got to...
you get... So do you get screwed every year?
No, I actually don't. I just keep partying.
All right. That's what I wanted to hear.
But you know what? Okay, so did you find that most celebrities actually were real cooks?
there's no real way to find out exactly who was a terrific cook and who was, oh, I like this whenever my chef makes this. You know, so there's no real way to know. But none of the recipes are made up. They all were attributed to these celebrities over the years. And I have to tell you a thing I did that was kind of a faux pas. I have become an acquaintance of Meredith Baxter, who's, you know, wonderful actress. And I asked her, I said, you know, I have a number of books with a recipes of yours in it. And I said, do you just, you know, have your publicist do something like that? She said, no, I take it very seriously. She said, I was always very careful as to what I chose. And then she said, well, why do you ask? And I said, well, I have this Dead Celebrity Cookbook series that I'm doing. And I was like, uh-oh, wait a minute. That's not a good thing to tell a celebrity.
Exactly.
So I just meant she's covered. I didn't need to ask her. But I wanted to know if, you know, when I had a number of recipes. So I think it probably ran the gamut from, you know, a publicist made up the recipe to someone actually, you know, having it come from their own home kitchen.
Right.
And some of the people, even, did you know, I thought this was fascinating to learn. Danny Kaye, who is so, such a brilliant actor.
Yeah,
so
I loved it, yeah.
Wonderful in White Christmas, you know, he's great. He was so good of a Chinese chef that he taught classes in it late in his life in
really?
San Francisco. I thought that was kind of, it's like, well, what didn't you do well? You know, I mean, he was like a wonderful pantomime artist. He could sing, he could dance. He was a terrific actor, and apparently he could stir fry with the best of them.
Wow.
I love it. Now, you know, now is this your first book, or you're saying you're starting a series?
It's my fourth book and my second cookbook. It's the second in the Dead Celebrity Cookbook series. Oh. I've had other kinds of books over the years.
Now, do you have recipes that you've held on to that the celebrity is not dead yet and you're just waiting for them to...
Oh,
well,
Marcia!
I don't want to be the Grim Reaper gourmet. But
I know.
But I do have some...
I mean, you come across a recipe and you go, oh, I wish I could use that. But
the worst,
you have to do a live celebrity cookbook.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, we're toying with a number of ideas for 2013, and if we do the musicians one, it's like people were like, all right, what do you have for Whitney Houston? I was like, a sweet potato casserole. Boom, you're done. You know, so I have them. So yeah. when they go, I'm ready.
Oh, good.
Well, you know, I mean, it's really an interesting concept, and I do want to remind any of my listeners that is just tuning in right now that you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking to Frank DeCaro, and his book, this series, is The Dead Celebrity Cookbook, and presents Christmas in the Tinseltown and celebrity recipes and Hollywood memories from 6 feet under. How do you, from under the mistletoe, how do you...
You got to say the mistletoe.
Yeah, you got to say that, yeah. How do you go about getting these recipes?
Well, I've been had been collecting anything with a celebrity recipe in it for years and years and years. And if you flea market enough, you'll find a bunch of you know, sources that have things in. And some of, you know, I mean, I have things from like silent film stars, and if you look in the book, there's even Laurel and Hardy left recipes behind. So it's a great collection.
This generation of people that are in your book are really 50s, 60s, and all of them came. I mean, Hollywood wasn't around before the 20s, so they came from real families with real recipes, and I'm sure a lot of these recipes came from their families' traditions.
I would hope so. I also think even if say they didn't cook it themselves, I hope it was something they really enjoyed.
Right.
And also, I think it's interesting what they chose to put out there. You know, I'm not convinced that, you know, I think it's interesting. Like, there's a Donna Reed recipe in there, and it's for like a lemon cake that you make with a cake mix. You know, and.
Huh.
And I used to make fun of that, and you know, when people would do convenience foods and stuff. But that was so much in keeping with the era.
Oh,
Convenience foods were modern in the, you know, to not use those was kind of
the 60s,
too old-fashioned, and it was very much of the moment in the 60s and 70s.
Right,
to do that.
What is that? TV dinners came out and all that stuff, and everybody was trying to take shortcuts.
It's true, and I feel guilty for all the grief I gave my mother. You know, for taking shortcuts.
Isn't that true in just life in general? The things that you gave your grief, like I gave my mom grief about not making me a baby book, where she made my brother's baby books, and you know, life had irony, and you know, then I had twins, and there was no time for anything. So my mom used to ha ha me. So
isn't that funny how it's a full circle, right?
It is a full circle.
But our parents should be nice, because. Obviously, someday they'll be in a home and we'll be in
exactly.
charge of pulling that plug.
Right.
And, you know, better be nice to us. That's all I say.
There you go. Well, this is really fun. Where do we get your book?
You can go to deadcelebritycookbook.com, and there are a couple of links there, but it's just as easy to go to amazon.com and get a copy there. You can get either the Dead Celebrity Cookbook or Christmas in Tinseltown, and or get them together and make me even more happy.
There
and make yourself
and
happy,
and
too.
And there's a lot of people who really love celebrity mm-hmm. anything, and I think this is just a great little catchy thing to give someone.
It is. Anybody that's, you know, that loves all the celebrities, and especially the old time, you know. I mean, I think it's just fun. So, anyways.
And cookbooks. And who doesn't collect cookbooks?
Thanks. My mantra is, if Lady Gaga can know who Liberace is, so can you. So that's my mantra.
Oh, he was fabulous.
You know?
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Frank. I appreciate you being a guest, and happy holidays.
Thanks. You too, and I wish you a lot of good eating in 2013.
You got it. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Kim Pagano. Stay with us. We got lots more to talk about, and we'll be right back.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Grow your business by advertising in Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly target audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of residents, business owners, and visitors who are ready to become your customers. And mention KVTA to receive an upgrade to color for no additional cost. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com or 653-0791.
Are you not feeling your best or want to improve your health? Tired of going to a traditional doctor? Roland Reif of Natural Health Care Center, located in Thousand Oaks, has a different approach. Instead of masking the pain with medications, eliminate the pain. Roland is on the American Board of Anti-Aging Health Practitioners and focuses on your overall goal. With more than 20 years of experience in Eastern medicine, combining herbalology, Roland has been practicing acupuncture and Chinese since 1990. He incorporates his extensive knowledge of Western orthopedic. Let Roland help you learn how you can eliminate your condition and achieve optimal health and well-being. Call Roland, 805-497-4074. That's 805-497-4074.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And we've been talking about food. We've been talking about sex. And I am really excited to bring my next guest on because we're going to learn how to stay sparkling during the holidays. And my next guest is Sherry Nichols. And Sherry, are you there?
I am. Hi, Kim.
How are you?
I am great. Thank you.
Good. So we're going to talk about, how to stay sparkling during the holidays and to really just talk about sexy and sparkling after 40 or before 40 so you don't lose it, right? So, and, you know, I love this, becoming the leading lady of your life. And that really, I'm going to use that with you because I think that we are our own performers. We are making our own life and our own movie. And I think sometimes we're the ones who stand in front of each other or, you know, and like cut us off. So I think it's important. So I'm so excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I basically went through a really struggle of a divorce several years ago, and at that time realized that I had just completely lost myself. You know, like a lot of women, you think you're doing the right thing.
You know, I think that I'm just going to interrupt you really quick. I don't even think you have to go through a divorce to lose yourself.
Yeah.
It's about having kids and taking women. And you know what I've really found, because, you know, I think men, talking to so many men also, is I think we all lose ourselves. And you get to a point where we don't put ourselves on the top of the list anymore. And we've taken care of everybody else.
We become doers.
And pleasers instead of pleasing ourselves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kim. And especially at this time of year, I think that women just, and I'll say men as well, you know, but typically women, because of the if you have kids, the woman does tend to be the one. I know there are a lot of men that take care of kids too, but I just think that this time of year stresses so many people out because you're just so amped up. You've got your kids off from school. You've got the shopping for the gifts. You've got the pleasing of the in-laws, the pleasing of the spouse. Seems like you're just doing for everybody but yourself.
And not only that, this is almost a time of the year, at least for me, where I start reflecting on where I've gone, what I've gotten taken, you know, where I'm going next year.
I'm not quite there yet. No, I think I spend before. See, I have the post in the pre and post Christmas thing.
Mm.
I spend so much time during this period of time trying to make the holidays perfect. In my mind, of course, my kids, you know, they think everything's perfect. But the anticipation of it can get you overwhelmed.
Right.
Just trying to make, I mean, everybody's holiday just special. And I don't think anybody else thinks of it that way.
Right. I think that if we kind of live and let live, right, isn't that how we're supposed to be doing it, instead of kind of being the one that's responsible for everybody?
Well, I think it's really checking in with yourself. I mean, I turn 50 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah,
yeah,
to you.
Birthday.
There you go.
And my son turns 18 next week. So it's a big, you know, it's a big holiday for me this Christmas season. But I was reflecting on how it used to be when my kids were little. I was always room mom. So it meant that I had to organize all the parties.
Right.
I also had to do gifts for all of the teachers, the craziness of everything, including
Sharon, here's, you know, and I'm going to turn the tables on you right now. Okay. You said I had to, you chose to.
I did.
Okay,
I did. I absolutely
right?
chose
because
that.
Because Marcia and I did the same thing.
That's what
but
I'm saying is that we set up ourselves.
Correct.
I chose that. And I was saying to a client of mine this morning, she said, I don't want to do this. And I said, you know, it's about making choices. It's about deciding what works for you and what doesn't. I did a thing about holiday stress. And just to say one quick thing, choose what it is that you want to do, but also fill your own cup up, because we're giving and giving and giving. And yet, if we filled our own cup first, we wouldn't feel like we were being so depleted.
Absolutely.
So let's go back to Sherry.
Yeah.
How do we get back to our own sparkle?
Well, you know, there are several things. You guys have talked about what I call the radiance robbers, which I list, you know, several 13 in my book, which is just what you're saying, you know, compromising your own needs. And we've all, it's apparent that you've all said that you do that yourself. So, well, you know what doesn't work, right? So what do we do that works? And so what I do is when I work with my clients, I use a 7-point system, the Sparkle system, that really gives women the tools to reconnect with their best self. And the third point, which is the A of that system, really solves that challenge. And it's about adjusting your attitude. And as Kim suggested at the beginning of this, it's about becoming the leading lady of your life, which means you create boundaries. You have, you know, you look at how you can create more time for you, how you can create a sense of self-love, because I think that's important. I don't think that enough people really choose things that that love, you know, that are about loving themselves.
Absolutely.
God, I love that word, self-love. You know, it's almost like instead of selfish, self, you
right,
know. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I really think that that's such an important thing that every single person needs to put in their category and in their conversation and think about that every single day. How am I going to self-love myself today?
Exactly. And it's really about creating a new reality. And I love, have you guys seen the movie The Holiday with Kate?
Yes. Okay. Oh my God. Yes. I love that.
So, you know, to me, it was so incredible how she went from this, you know, heartbroken person to realizing
victim. She went from a victim.
She went from a victim to a place of empowerment,
right,
and setting those boundaries and saying, you know, I deserve more.
Right.
I really can make choices that empower myself. And I felt that that really drove home that we always have a choice. You know, I love
Absolutely.
To compare women to diamonds. And, you know, like, are you this beautiful, sparkling diamond, or are you going to let the gunk, you know, like being the victim, you know, having all this gunk thrown on you all the time?
You know, it's interesting. You know, yesterday I had a really hard day. And by the end of the day, I thought, what would I do for a friend, a girlfriend of mine that was having a really hard day? So I turn on the music, I made myself a cup of tea, and I sat there and I just we forget. We forget, and we need to honor our lives and honor. This is it. This is all we all know about right here. And we need to enjoy every moment. And it really helped. You know, it's almost like that comfort food, that comfort moment. So I love where we're going with this. I do want to remind everybody that if anybody's just tuning in right now, that you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And I'm here with Marcia and Sharon. And we're talking with Sherry Nichols. And her book is How to Stay Sparkling. No, that's not the name of your book. Right?
No, right. The book is Sexy and Sparkling After 40.
Sexily. There you go. Sexy and Sparkling After 40. But it's a perfect time right now for the holidays. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So what is the biggest challenge that women have, especially this time of the year?
Well, as I was saying, they get so stressed out. And they really, what happens to them when they get stressed out is, what happens to you? You close up, right? Your mind fills with clutter. And when that happens, you feel disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel disconnected, you feel isolated and you feel alone. And you don't reach out for support, you know, and it's okay. I think women are so programmed that, oh my gosh, we have to do everything. We have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. We've got to, you know, just do it all. And we don't allow others to help us. And so we disconnect. And that's the worst place to be. And so the challenge is to really be that leading lady, to really set the boundaries, not to let yourself be robbed of the joys of the season, to take time to really realize how important family is, but not to let everybody else's needs overshadow your own needs. And just as you were saying, Kim, to put some beautiful music on, to take time to just, you know, if you've got a Christmas tree in your house, sit and enjoy the season. Think
right.
back to when you were a child and how excited you were. It's that mind shift. The
right.
mindset.
So true, Sherry. You know what? Here's one of the things that, you know, okay, so you're kind of concentrating on women after 40, okay, and your life starts to change. And now we're looking at women after 50 in this sense, right? Where, you know, we were talking about being room moms.
50 was the new 40.
Yes, okay. It is. But you know what? Things, I mean, it's almost like, if you haven't, you know, if you're done being room mom and you're done, you know, PTA, what's our next chapter going to look like? We need to start concentrating on that. And we've done an amazing, successful job living through all this. And now it's kind of the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's the same. It's really basically the same principles, no matter what decade you're in. It always goes back to, what can I do that honors myself, that is fulfilling, that makes me feel good about what I'm doing, and that allows me to be that, you know, like I say, I compare women to diamonds. It allows me to shine as who I am, my unique beauty in the world, and to really connect with your joys. You know, I think that so many people, as we were saying, give to so many different people in their life that they disconnect from, they don't even know what brings them joy anymore.
I think you nailed it right there. I mean, so many, and I hear this from men too. I don't want to leave them out, that they don't even know who they are anymore. They don't know what pleases them. I mean, and I know, you know, from some of us, sometimes we have to rethink, okay, you know, what is going to make me happy?
See, I think the difference is, I've been thinking a lot about this. My daughter asked me, my daughter's 17, she's a senior in high school. My sons went away to school this year. They're 19. And she said, "Mom, what are you going to do when I leave next year?" And I said, "Woohoo!" No, but I said to her, "Do you think my life will stop because you aren't here?" She said, "No, I said, I think you want to know that I
am
will
be
okay." And I said, "I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to this new chapter. I'm not looking at it as it's dreadful and, you know, oh, woe is me. I'm kind of excited."
And I think that that's changed over the generations, because if you look at, you know, I mean, I think I went through a little guilt with my mom when we all left, and maybe, you know, she didn't have as much going on. And I think it's important to have hobbies before your kids get out of the house, to start having all those things, because all of a sudden you don't realize the changes that start to happen. And then all of a sudden you could find yourself in a depression or feeling lonely because you haven't discovered who you are.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say, which leads right into it, is my daughter was so relieved to know that I wasn't going to be broken up when she left. She's like, "Oh, well, that's great."
It's a lot of pressure on them.
It is
a
lot.
Like they need to fill your happiness.
You felt guilty that when you left.
Absolutely, because you want to make sure your parents. My parents were divorced, and I knew my mom was going to be by herself. You know, I mean, it is. So, you know, Sherry, tell us some of the things. What are the most important things to do to shift our attitudes?
Well, the biggest thing to do that you can do as far as changing your mindset is just realizing, you know, Abe Lincoln said it the best. People are about as happy as they decide to be.
Absolutely.
I love it.
So, you know, how you live your life is nothing more than a mindset. So, you know, you have to make the choice. You know, like you get up in the morning. You know, it's like a little 3-4-step process. How, you know, with the intention, I'm going to have a great day today. You know, I'm going to discover what makes me happy. And then you keep open to it. And you make that, you know, an awareness for you. And you look back. If you don't have any idea what has made you happy, you look back at the things in your life. You know, when were you the happiest? When were you in a state of creativity, not, you know, that you were in a space in your life where you were creating, whether it was actual artistically creating or just your life was created in a way that made you happy. Mm-hmm. And you look back at that and you think, okay, now what was it that I enjoyed about that? Was it the connecting with people? Was it writing? Was it speaking? Was it being of service? Was it? And you start to look at, oh, these are great things, and you know what? I can have whatever I want. It's really opening up to knowing that I have the choice of making my life whatever I want it to be.
Right. And Sherry, when you went through your divorce, how did you make your shift? Because divorce is definitely not easy. Even if you want it and you know things aren't going the way that you want your life to go, you still have to have that mindset to self-love instead of be selfish.
Well, for me, it was, I just figured I could sink or swim, meaning I can either be a victim and wallow in this forever, just complaining about my life, or I can find out what really, you know, who I am again. And that process of finding out who I was again, to me, was such an exciting journey. You know, and I think that's it. If we can just think, I want to be a detective. I'm going to be the best detective there is, and I'm going to find out what it is that makes me happy. Because when you're happy, you're going to bring happiness to all the people around you.
Right.
And that, to me, is important, you know.
And I think that's true with any kind of loss. Eventually, when you get past the initial loss, whether it's loss of a loved one or which I have dealt with before, and, you know, you have to choose to remember the happy times and to remember that. Or, like, I had cancer. And to how to get past that is, like, you have to choose that, okay, this was a lesson in my life that I learned, and yes, I am different from it, but not necessarily worse. You know, like, in some ways, I think, okay, that really made me more empathetic towards other people, and, you know, so you have to look at the bright side of whatever you're in.
Right, and I really think, you know, I mean, it's becoming more and more apparent to me that life is definitely a journey, and that every day you kind of want to reflect on, what am I learning from this? What obstacles do I have? And let me tell you, you know, every day brings you something.
And what happens if you look at them as opportunities to do it differently? And it's not always, you know, sometimes we go down a path that may not be our destination. It may just be a road that takes us on another path. You know, that's not the road that leads to where we're ultimately going.
Definitely. So, Sherry, take us through some of the steps that you do in your workshop and to bring back, you know, happy times for all of us.
Well, are you referring to the play shop?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, first of all, we look at...
Well, explain what it is first.
Yeah, tell everybody what it is.
The play shop is a five-week course that is about discovering how to really find your playful, sexy self and really own it. Okay.
And here, let me ask you, since we just talked about, wanting sex again, is that something that a lot of women lose about sexy play part of their life?
I think that, definitely a lot of women get to that space where it's the thoughts. It's all about your thoughts. You know, if you feel like you're older, if you feel like you're looking at your body differently and all of those things that come into play, it can affect how you feel about yourself. But ultimately, we should all be having great sex life till the day we die, you know, because it's the way we think about ourselves. It's the inner belief system.
I'm using now, my mentor is now Jane Fonda, who's 76 years old.
She's
and
amazing.
Looking like, I mean, unbelievably fit and phenomenal. And I'm thinking that is now my new vision of a 76-year-old.
That's awesome.
From now on, that's what I'm thinking of a 76-year-old as.
And I think that's so important, Marcia, to have somebody that you mentor, that you can...
I mean, she'll never know that, but, you know.
Well, I don't know.
In my mind, I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah. But it is important to have a model. You know,
absolutely.
Because if we aimlessly go through life and we don't have anybody to mentor, that's, you know, it's just so much better to have that picture. You put it out there, you imagine it, you start your day with it. And, you know, Sharon, you talk about that all the time. It's so important.
Setting the intention.
And Sherry, that's what you talk about, is really setting your intention of how you want your day. And even if, you know, even if something happens in your day, if you started, you have a lot more reserve to go through it.
But, you know, Cherry, also I think when you look at deciding what kind of person you want to be, so looking around and saying, do I want to be this sexy person? Do I want to be a little more low-key? And looking around at different people and then going, okay, how do they present themselves? I like that. I'm going to model myself on that person.
Absolutely. That's exactly what my chapter in my book about adjusting your attitude is all of what you guys have just said, you know, really, because a lot of people don't know how to be a certain way. And it's not that you're changing who you are, that you're not enough as you are, but you do need that mentor to kind of look at that and say, okay, I can be that, rather than looking at it with envy. It's like, okay, this is a great modeling for me.
You know, Sherry, I want to just share a conversation that I had with somebody where she was telling me that she was sitting and her husband was looking at a woman that was walking by. And what I said to her is, you need to go and, well, I didn't say it in this way, but basically the intention was, you have to show up in a way that he wants to only be looking at you. So you have to feel sexy. Go and cut your hair, put on makeup, stand up straight, put on nice clothes. Feel sexy within yourself. He won't be looking anyway. I mean, yes, men look anyway. We all look. But he'll be wanting to come back to you.
What do they say? They can read the menu as long as they eat at home.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But you know what? It is interesting. Being a hair therapist, you know, it is. You would be so surprised how many women will look at a haircut in a book or look at a magazine and go, oh, that's really cute, but I could never do that. Why not? Why
well, the
not?
Other thing is, was it the woman that he was looking at, or was it the attitude that the woman was projecting that he was looking at?
Very true.
Absolutely.
Did she have self-confidence and strut like she liked herself? Or is she, you know, obviously he wasn't looking at some wallflower that's walking around with their head down. No, he was looking at the woman who had self-confidence and self-worth. And so be that woman that has self-confidence and self-worth. Be the one he wants to look at.
And you don't have to be skinny, and you don't have to be beautiful.
Well, you
just
could
have
be beautiful
to feel. Well, it's you externally. You just have to feel that energy and emanate it, because that's the sex appeal that attracts mm-hmm. people to you.
It's a connection to your sensuality.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Sherry, I love you. Are so spot on, and that's one of the things. I love what you're doing, what you're trying to do, and I just think it's so important. So many of it, like you said, we've been taking care of our kids, and maybe now we're taking care of our parents and our husbands and our homes and everything, and we forget the most important thing, us.
Well, absolutely. The only one you're with your whole life is you.
Yes. Sherry, you know what? I'm divorced. I've been divorced for 12 years. And it's funny, because I feel that it was my divorce, being the single woman after having divorced and having my children, that's actually gotten me in touch with my sensuality, and just having had amazing men that I've encountered that have been part of my journey, and being a single woman, that I don't necessarily know that I would have done in my marriage.
Absolutely.
And so that's what I love is. And
It's a wake-up call.
And also hopefully that the women do wake up in their marriage. And that's what I say to people is, don't wait until it's all gone. Do it now, because it doesn't matter. I happen to have been blessed having come out of the marriage. But I feel like that you need to be taking the bull by the horns in your marriage and be finding yourself.
Right. Wherever you are. Don't wait. Wherever you are right now.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And that's what's going to make the big difference. And I came to the same conclusion, Sharon. It's just, you know, what was I not doing? And that's what my mission is about, is helping women not to have to get to that point, but to do it within their marriages, to wake up.
Right, like sexy underwear, really? No, I'm wearing these socks and these pajamas to bed.
Yeah, and to stop looking, you know, outside of themselves for that external validation. You know, it's about when you feel it. You know, I had this one client, and it was just in a marriage where they were like roommates, and she really was missing the passion, and she was taking my course, and she was listening to this sensuality expert bonus talk that talked about, you know, if you get in certain poses, and, you know, you can just with your body language create, you know, a connection and sensuality. And, you know, her husband kind of came in, and he wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention, but she kept at it because, you know, the word was that it takes men sometimes, you know, 4 times of looking at you to kind of get it. And God love her, she didn't give up, and she kept in these poses. And she got to a point, which I think this is so critical, she got to a point where she was just doing it for herself because it felt good to please herself. And when she got to that point, her husband locked eyes with her, and they had, like, an amazing, passionate night. But she said it was when she got to that point, she didn't care anymore about getting his attention. It was for herself.
Right. Sherry, how could someone connect with you? How can they do your course? Or?
Well, you can reach me at sherry@sexyandsparkling.com. You can look online at sexyandsparkling.com. That's where I have my book. And if you would like to get in touch with me, you can call me at 213-422-5627. But I do my courses, my Sparkle course that is in the book is going to be coming out in February, and I do private one-on-one coaching that I love.
Yeah, in fact, Sherry, you and I talked about that we're going to do something together.
So
because
you're in Los Angeles, 213.
Yeah, this is something that I really, you know, everybody knows that I'm a hair therapist, and it's just about really putting yourself together again. If you've let some of your life be on hold, or you've put yourself, you know, kind of in a place where you don't feel good anymore, it's about time. We've got 2013 right around the corner. I'm going to be doing seminars that I have some of my amazing guests that are going to be joining us, and Sherry and I are going to get together, and I think this is just so, it's not only for right now through the holidays, but really sexy and sparkling after any age, wherever you are right now. I want you to feel the best you can in your own skin.
And you owe it to yourself.
We all do, and really that's why I come on every week to my show to remind us that we can have anything we want. And really, it's a reminder for me, too. I mean, really, that's what it's about. I'm learning with all of you. This is what, you know, Sherry, it took you through your divorce. Sharon, it took you through your divorce. Marsha and I are in our marriage, and we're, you know, our kids are leaving right now, and and you know what? We're all learning. That's what this life is all about, and I want to learn together. This is, you know, amazing. You know, one of the things that I want to talk about is, what is it that you find is the most common mistake women make?
As far as losing their sparkle?
Correct.
Well, there's a couple of them. As I said, I have 13 that I list, but a couple of them that I really think are super common is that women compromise their needs. They're always looking at other people's needs as over their own. And they pretzel themselves to please others. You know, just really going above and beyond, looking at whatever anybody else wants, and really looking for love externally, not turning within, not knowing their own value. And I think that those three things, and comparing themselves, actually that I think are really common, comparing themselves to other people.
Yeah, I really think you just hit another nail. I mean, really,
that could be a whole conversation on its own.
Yeah, because why is it that we do that? Do men do that as much, compare themselves?
They compare themselves on a how much money they earn basis, and what value in society they have. Women compare each other on a lot of different things, but not just where they fit in society.
And I think that the main, you know, that the great thing to think about with that is, if we could all make that shift in how we think about ourselves and really own our value, then we can become more of a community. Instead of comparing and competing, we can support each other.
You know, I just had a thought. I'm sitting here thinking about myself, of course, and I was thinking, okay, so how would I describe myself? And when I start the sentence with mother instead of woman, or, you know, something that actually describes me and not my roles.
Wow, that's really interesting right there.
You know, maybe I need to reevaluate that.
Maybe we all do. We all need to write down who is it that we think we are, and kind of like almost like, you know, one of my girlfriends that has been on my show before. Used to do that almost like a bubble, you know, you kind of write and then you lead all these things out to, you know, almost like, you know, a round circle that would be Kim.
Right.
And then mom, radio host, hair therapist, right?
But those are the things you do. That's not who you are.
Correct.
Right.
So we define ourselves by what we do versus who we actually are authentically.
Right.
So kind, spiritual, loving.
It's interesting. Very interesting. Sherry, thank you so much for being a guest on my show. I can't wait to have you back on. I can't wait to put something together with you for all my listeners. And where do we find your book?
Well, thank you so much for having me. You can find my book at sexyandsparkling.com. I would send you a signed copy from that place. I'm also on Amazon. And I wanted to offer something special for your listeners. Kim, the first five to call your station, I'm happy to give them a book and to spend an hour with them, helping them learn how to reconnect with themselves.
I love it. Okay, and I'm going to give out my phone number right now, 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. That's the first five people who contact me. They can get your book. And did you say it's a – tell me again what it is.
They'll get the book, Sexy and Sparkling After 40, as well as an hour complimentary call with me to help them reconnect with themselves.
Oh, I love it. I'm calling.
Good. I know.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sherry. I love it. We have a lot of the same things going on here, so I can't wait to work with you.
Thank you. Me as well.
All right. All right. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I have one more guest that's going to be joining us. We have Karen, let's see if I can get it right, Eckhorn, and her book is 52 Shades of Bluish. And, you know, I'm really excited, and we'll bring her on right now. So, Karen, are you there?
I am here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your book and, you know, your journey.
Sure. Well, it's interesting, actually, my inspiration behind this book, because my first book was a very serious book on autism called The Autism Sourcebook. And while I was on my book tour, that took me around the world, one of the autism moms came up to me and said, "Karen, love you, love your book, but honestly, if I read one more book on autism, I'm going to go crazy. Like, can't you write something fun or funny?" Now, what I found was that other moms echoed the same sentiment. But at that time, I was in serious autism mode.
I'm sorry, I need to ask a question. Is your child autistic, or are you an expert on autism?
We have a child who fully recovered from autism.
Oh, what a miracle.
I didn't know that was possible.
Wow.
Truly a miracle. You know what? And neither did we. Quite honestly, when you hear about autism, you never hear the word autism and recovery in the same sentence.
Wow, that's a blessing right there.
Truly. Absolutely. And not a day goes by where I don't feel blessed.
That's a whole nother many more questions.
That's a whole nother story. But yes, and you can read about our story, too, in the autism source book. So I was very much driven at that point to heal my son and then to share information with the rest of the world, you know, that didn't exist at the time about autism. So my book was compared to the sort of What to Expect When You're Expecting book, but for parents of newly diagnosed kids with autism.
Wow. So what is your new book about, 52 okay. Shades of Bluish?
Okay, so, and this is where, you know, you talk about embracing different sides of yourself. My new book is actually kind of soft porn. I talk about going in a different direction. So what happened was, you know, there I am on my book tour, and I can't even think about writing anything fun or funny. Cut to 7 years later, I'm in Palm Beach, and I'm hanging around the pool at my parents' condo, and I'm looking at these women lying in their lounge chairs, women of all different ages, and they're all reading the same book,
Fifty Shades of Grey.
Of course, right?
Right.
And these women happen to be Jewish, and they're all, the main character in 50 Shades of Grey, is his name is Christian. And I hear all these Jewish women going, "Christian, can you believe Christian did this and Christian did that?" And I thought, oh my goodness.
I have to tell you, I did hear a lot about that. But not only that, is a lot of the younger generation mm-hmm. really read it. And I was very...
It's such a poorly written book. I'm just...
But what are we starving for then? You know?
I think that's a really good point, though. So what are we starving for? And I think that part of the issue with that book is that, I mean, yes, people say it was poorly written, and also that sex was very serious and very upsetting to a lot of women. I mean, on the one hand, you had women who were enthralled, and on the other hand, you had women who were appalled. And I wanted to take that seriousness out of sex and make it more fun and funny. I mean, sex can be funny. We've all had these ridiculous experiences in bed.
I got to tell you, it's much more appealing to me than somebody hurting you and controlling you.
You know what? Exactly. And this is absolutely positively the antithesis of that. This is fun and silly and sexy. But again, it's not like you have to go to a XXX porn shop to get the things that are involved in my little sexcapades in the book. These are things where you can open up your kitchen cabinet or your refrigerator. It's like fun with food.
Fun with food. Okay. All right. And for anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And we're talking with Karen Eckhorn and her book of 52 Shades of Bluish. So
is this a how-to book, or is this it's not a novel?
It is a novel, actually.
Oh, it is.
It is a novel, but of course there's that how-to element
right.
in it, because I'm hoping that, you know, it will give women ideas and make them more
creative.
Start
a conversation anyway.
Exactly. And it's very short.
In bed. No.
Well, or out, you know.
I love it.
Exactly.
So, okay. Remember, we are an AM station here. And so tell us a little bit about your book.
Okay. So the book is fun. It's fun, and it's something that you can read in one sitting. It's a short book, and And it is about a young virgin who is in her 20s named Rachel, and she meets this handsome hunk of man who's very old. He's 30. So, and they have an adventure together. And it's really just, as I said, it's a fun adventure. And it was fun for me writing this book. It was certainly a departure from the Autism Source Book and a departure from what I do during the rest of my life.
Wow.
Because during the rest of my life, I'm actually a management consultant.
I love it. You know what? I am going to have to bring you back to find out more about your book because we've really only got a minute left. But what I would love to do is, where do we get your book?
Okay, so you can find 52 Shades of Bluish on Amazon.com, and it's on BarnesandNoble.com.
Perfect.
You can also go to my website, which is 52shadesofbluish.com.
Okay.
And the next time we talk, remind me to tell you about, you know, I have, instead of the bucket list,
yeah,
I have another list.
Okay. We'll definitely do that. Karen,
right.
I'm definitely going to have you back. I'm sorry we ran out of time, but I did want to get you in, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Karen.
Thanks so much.
All right. We are at the end of our show. We have learned a lot and we have talked about a lot. And I want to remember and remind everybody that if anybody's missed any part of my show, that you can go on to the KimPaganoShow.com. All my shows are downloaded there. We also are on Twitter. We are also on Facebook. Become a friend. Tell me what you want to hear. And I do want to wish everybody a happy holiday from all of us here at the Kim Pagano Show. And I really appreciate you listening in. Again, if you would like to be a part of my show, 805-419-0008. If you are interested in a book or interested in something we talked about, or if you have a journey, I'd love to hear from it. Also, you can email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Marcia, Sharon, thank you so much for being a part of our show.
Thanks for having us.
And of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today is, at the end of every hard day, find some reason to believe. With that, happy holidays, and we'll talk to you next week. You've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show.
Blue Christmas without you.